Welcome, listeners, to the Truth Be Told Project podcast. On this podcast, we take the time to dive into the deep truths of life from a Christian perspective. Have you ever felt like you're just going through the motions, like life is happening to you rather than you living it? This is a sign of a life lived by default, a script written by society, not by God and not by you. At the Truth Be Told Project, we believe that this default setting often leads to a sense of malfunction, a life out of sync with its true purpose. Here we invite you to reset, to shift from a default existence to a life designed with an intention that was given by God. A life where every day is a conscious choice towards growth, understanding, and genuine connection. We're more than a platform. We are a community that celebrates authentic conversations and explores the deep questions of life. Join us in our discussions that go beyond the surface. The Truth Be Told Project, helping you live by design and not by default. Today, we're here to explore a topic that's often left undiscussed, but it's so crucial to address, and that issue is why Christian marriages fail, and more importantly, how to prevent these failures. But before we dig in, you know, on this podcast, we're going to take the time to delve into a story to help us relate to the content and the lesson that's being taught in this discussion today. So it's story time. Are you ready? Here we go. Stacy and Josh were the picture-perfect couple. At least that's how it seemed on the outside. They met in college through their church's young adult ministry, and they fell in love almost instantly. Their courtship was a whirlwind of shared Bible studies, late-night conversations about their dreams and visions of a future together. They believed their love was special, grounded in faith and immune to the challenges that others face. However, their picture-perfect love story soon faced the realities of marriage. After a beautiful wedding, life quickly began to test the foundations of their relationship. Josh's demanding job as an accountant often kept him late at the office, leaving Stacy to eat dinner alone, with the sound of the TV filling the silence. Meanwhile, Stacy's career in graphic design had her traveling for weeks at a time, and she often felt disconnected from Josh. The stress of their schedule slowly led to less communication. Their once effortless conversations became hurried exchanges between work, church, and the endless errands of daily life. Josh grew frustrated with Stacy's absence, feeling she was prioritizing her career over their marriage. Stacy, on the other hand, felt alone and unappreciated, believing Josh cared more about his job than their relationship. As the months went by, they drifted further apart. Financial struggles added fuel to the fire. With Josh's student loans and Stacy's business investments, they began to feel a strain on their budget. Discussions about money often ended in heated arguments, leaving both feeling hurt and misunderstood. In their hearts, both Stacy and Josh wanted to reconnect, but they didn't know how to bridge the growing gap. They began seeking comfort in the wrong places. Stacy turned to her friends, who sympathized with their frustrations, while Josh spent more time with his colleagues, who offered him a sense of camaraderie. They both began to wonder if they had made a mistake. If their love was meant to last, the final blow came when Stacy discovered a string of messages on Josh's phone from a female co-worker. Though they weren't explicitly inappropriate, the casual intimacy of the text messages deeply wounded her. Josh, in turn, was devastated by Stacy's anger and accusations. He felt she had been too absent to notice his loneliness and had no right to judge him at all. With shattered trust and mounting resentment, Stacy and Josh made their way to divorce court. They had reached the point of no return, or so they thought. As they sat in the waiting area, surrounded by other couples, they both felt an overwhelming sense of sadness and a little disbelief. This wasn't what they had envisioned on their wedding day. They wondered how they had come to this place where love had turned into bitterness and their dreams had dissolved into broken pieces. It was at that moment something stirred within them. They realized that while they had tried to solve their problems alone, they hadn't fully sought God. They haven't fully sought God nor his guidance or support from those who could help them. Stacy and Josh decided to step out of the courthouse and seek some pastoral counseling. They understood that if there was any chance of rebuilding their marriage, it would take openness, it would take forgiveness, and the willingness to work through their issues together. Now, this story of Stacy and Josh is fictional. It reflects the reality that many married Christians face. Despite starting with love, and despite starting with faith, life's challenges, you better believe they can cause even the strongest relationships to falter. So in today's episode, we'll explore the reasons why Christian marriages fail and how couples can avoid ending up in divorce court. So let's dive into the top 10 reasons and the ways we can prevent our own love stories from ending in heartbreak. Now, everybody listening to this may not be married. They may be planning on getting married one day. So these are some good tips to implement and to keep in the forefront of your mind for when God does bring you a spouse, you'll be prepared and ready. So we're going to count backwards from 10. One of the top 10 reasons why Christians end up in divorce court is they lack a shared vision. Couples who lack a shared vision for their future, they often find themselves drifting apart. They will find themselves drifting apart as they pursue different paths. One's going right, the other's going left. One's going back, one's going forward. They don't share a vision. Now, one tip we could utilize to help us share the same vision as married couples is you want to regularly discuss your goals and your dreams as a couple. You want to create a shared vision for your life together as a couple. And if you plan on having kids, if you don't have kids already, you want to create a shared vision for your life as a family. And you want to make sure that you revisit these visions or this vision often. Reason number 9 why married Christians often find themselves in divorce court is there are mental and emotional health issues. Mental and emotional health issues can deeply affect a marriage. It could be a mental health issue. A person could have a drug problem. A person could have a gambling problem. A person could have a spending problem. Some people can be addicted to alcohol. Looking for solutions to their problems at the end of a bottle or at the end of a cigarette butt or anything like that to try to solve some kind of internal issue that they're having. All of these can be tied to some mental and emotional health issues. So one of the ways that we could address our mental and emotional issues is we should prioritize our mental health and our emotional health. And don't be afraid. If you've been listening to this podcast for any time, you know that I advocate for seeking professional help if it's needed. Make sure you get some professional help. Talk to a counselor. And you want to make sure to always be open with your spouse about your mental and emotional struggles. Talk to somebody, please. The 8th reason why married Christians end up in divorce court is they have external influences. Now, these influences, let me place emphasis on the word external. This means that it is somebody outside of your house, somebody that you do not live with. Now, this could be family. family. It could be your friends. It could even be the society and the culture that you live within. Societal pressures can sometimes negatively impact marriages. External influences that undermine your relationship, they can create doubt and discord in your household. And I want to make sure, because this is an issue I see a lot, and it's married couples, it's either the husband or the wife, they have a friend or a relative or somebody, let me put an emphasis on the word external again, someone outside of your house that is not married or has been married, but they have a failed marriage or marriages. They've been married a bunch of times and they just can't keep a relationship together. These people often influence married couples and they give advice, and either the man, the husband, or the wife is taking bad relationship advice from somebody outside of their house. Do not ever take relationship advice from a person that cannot keep a relationship together. It's like trying to take financial advice from somebody who cannot manage money. It's a terrible idea. So in order to not be influenced by external influences, protect your marriage by setting healthy boundaries with people. You got to keep people out of your business. Keep people out of your marriage. If you need somebody to talk to, speak to a professional or speak to a mentor or somebody that has a proven track record of having a successful marriage or successful relationships. Don't take advice from people who can't keep a relationship together. Please, please don't. Reason number 7 of why married Christians often end up in divorce court is they have poor conflict resolution skills. I want you to be mindful about this. What am I saying? I want to tell you, especially if you're listening to this and you have an interest in maybe one day getting married, disagreements are inevitable. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have conflict. It's just a natural part of relationships. But how you handle this conflict as a couple, it can make or break a marriage. Poor conflict resolution can lead to unresolved issues and tons of bitterness. So one of the ways that we can overcome this is we can learn healthy conflict resolution skills such as active listening. I know in our culture, it's hard for us to practice active listening. A lot of times we're listening to respond. We're listening to counter an argument. We're listening to get our point across. But you want to listen. You want to listen to understand what the person you're talking to is trying to communicate. You want to understand what they're trying to communicate to you. So you want to stop your mind from running, stop focusing on how you're going to respond, and just sit there and practice to just shut your mouth and listen. The Bible says in the book of James to be quick to listen and slow to speak. So open your ears, close your mouth. We should be more active and using the two holes on the side of our head to listen rather than speak. And the tongue can do a lot of damage. Learn to be an active listener. The 6th reason why Christian marriages often fail is that couples grow apart spiritually. When couples aren't aligned spiritually, it can cause a disconnect in core values and life goals. You want to stay connected to each other spiritually. You want to seek spiritual growth together. You want to attend church together. You want to study the Bible together. You want to pray as a couple. You want to go before God's throne together. You want to have mutual spiritual intimacy. That will strengthen your bond together. Now, let me say this, because sometimes studying the Bible together can be a rather contentious affair, because I'm just giving an example. I know a couple, they are both Christian, but one is Baptist and the other is Lutheran, or I think they may be Church of Christ or something like that, where there are theological differences on minor issues, like whether or not it's a sin to listen to certain kind of music or not. Minor issues. It has nothing to do with salvation or anything, but you want to avoid topics that can be contentious. So remember that when it comes to studying the Bible, a lot of people, you know, focus, or a lot of people make minor stuff major and they major in the minor stuff, if that makes sense. So be careful on that. But you want to grow together spiritually. The fifth reason why a lot of married couples that are Christian who end up in divorce court is because they lack intimacy. That's reason number five. They lack intimacy. Over time, our schedules get busy. Over time, life will place a lot of demands on your time. And life demands, they can erode the intimacy that bonds couples together. Now, this can lead to feelings of loneliness, and it can lead to emotional distance. And a lot of times when I see situations like this, either one or both people in a marriage, the man and the woman, become intimate with someone else when there is emotional distance. For some reason, the devil would just bring people in your path to be intimate with you. And I know a lot of times when we hear that word intimacy, we think of sex, but intimacy means that you're acquainted with the person. A synonym for intimacy is acquaintance. It means you're getting acquainted with the person. You're getting acquainted with intimate details of a person's life, or you're giving intimate details about your life to another person. You want to be very, very careful with that. So here's the tip to prevent you from developing a lack of intimacy. You want to prioritize physical and emotional intimacy. You want to set aside some regular date nights. You want to set aside, if you got kids, you got to make plans to have sex. You gotta make plans to be intimate, because you kind of, depending on how young your kids are, especially if they're new babies, you got to create your schedule around them. They're not going to adjust to your schedule. You have to adjust to theirs. Okay. So you want to plan regular date nights. You want to plan sex if you need to, nights where you're going to be affectionate. You want to set aside and make plans to have open conversations about your needs. Remember, open conversations about your needs, they can help keep the spark alive. So make some time for your spouse. Set aside some time to be intimate with your spouse. Talk often. Set regular date nights. Set regular affection nights. I don't want to chase rabbits here, but I want to stick on topic. But you know, if you have to plan nights where you guys have sex as a couple, then that's something you have to do. But make sure you make time for your mate. All right. The fourth reason why Christian marriages often fail is infidelity. That's the fourth reason. Infidelity, whether emotional or physical. Remember in our last point about the lack of intimacy. A lack of intimacy opens the door for infidelity. Because infidelity starts emotionally. It means you're emotionally connected to some person outside of your marriage. You're emotionally connected to them. And then you make plans to connect on a more deeper level, which is physically. You're meeting up to knock boots. And for many of you who may be listening who don't know what knock boots means, it's kind of a ghetto euphemism for have sex. So if you're wondering, that's what it means. So infidelity, whether emotional or physical, is a significant betrayal, and it will shatter the trust in your relationship. And like I said, I'm going to keep repeating it. It often stems from unmet emotional needs and a lack of intimacy, and also poor boundaries. So be careful with that. Be very careful. Be very careful. Invest in your relationship through quality time and meaningful connection. You want to establish boundaries. What does that mean, to establish boundaries? You want to put something around yourself to guard yourself. We have property boundaries. We put fences around our property to not only keep us in, but to keep others out. So you want to make sure that you establish boundaries to protect your marriage. You want to establish boundaries to protect your marriage. And then sometimes to prevent infidelity, you want to seek help if you're struggling. There's nothing wrong with seeking help if you're struggling, if it prevents you from being unfaithful to your spouse. Reason number three of why most Christian marriages fail is financial stress. Financial strain is a major stressor in marriages. Deferring spending habits, debt, and financial insecurity can create tension and lead to conflict. This is a whole episode in and of itself. Spending habits. In every marriage, there's always going to be, I believe it's Dave Ramsey who uses the term the nerd and the free spirit, meaning it's very rare for both of the married couples or both people in the marriage to have similar spending habits. One is going to be a nerd and the other is going to be a free spirit. Now, to break down what Dave Ramsey means by that is a free spirit is a person that doesn't budget. They look and they buy whatever they want if they got the money without regard for what bills they have no regard for it. But the nerd, they keep track of every penny. And so you want to make sure that you and your spouse develop a healthy spending plan together. You want to develop a budget together and set shared financial goals. And remember, you want to be transparent. Transparency and teamwork in managing finances can often strengthen the trust that you have with each other. Now, for those who don't know what transparency means, it means you're being completely open. You're not hiding anything. You want to be completely open. You want your checkbook to be open if you still use that. You want your bank statements to be open if you use that. You want your whole expense toll to be out in the open to your spouse. No hiding. You want to be completely transparent. Now, I'm talking to myself with that part as well. The second reason why Christian marriages often fail is unrealistic expectations. We often enter marriage with idealized notions of what our spouse should be. We go in thinking we're going to have this Hollywood style type marriage, or I ain't going to say Hollywood style because they can't keep a marriage together in Hollywood. And it's like far worse than what you see from the average person. But I will say movies create this idea of how they create these unrealistic expectations of how people perceive happy marriages should be. It shapes our expectations. And these unrealistic expectations can lead to disappointment and resentment when reality falls short of what we're expecting. So one of the ways to overcome this is to realize that marriage is tough. Relationships are a struggle. People are a struggle. Dealing with your spouse is a struggle. Dealing with that person that you look at in your mirror is a struggle when all is said and done. So one way to deal with unrealistic expectations is to recognize that no one is perfect, and you should always focus on your spouse's strengths and make sure that you extend grace for their shortcomings. Because we want grace for our shortcomings. So we need to be quick to forgive, quick to show grace, quick to show understanding for certain things. Cheating and all that stuff, that's something different. But, you know, if your spouse leaves the toilet seat up, if your husband leaves the toilet seat up, or your wife doesn't unravel toilet paper a way that you expect her to, you know, you want to extend some grace. I'm going to do a podcast episode on that in and of itself. So stay tuned for that. All right. And lastly, reason number one that Christian marriages often fail is a lack of communication. Communication is the heartbeat of any relationship, but many couples struggle with it. Whether it's due to pride, it could be due to misunderstanding, it could be we just want to avoid having difficult conversations. The lack of effective communication can lead to unresolved issues that often fester over time. And it's going to come out at a time where you do not expect it. It's going to come out in a time and place where you do not expect it when you don't expect it. It's like a powder keg, you know, and as time goes on, boom, all is done. So a tip to overcome this is to prioritize open and honest conversation. Make time for daily check-ins and be intentional about actively listening to each other without interruption. I know it's hard. I know we like to get our point across. I know we love to be heard, but remember that a majority of the conversation or communication is listening. We forget about that. Listening is a huge part of communication. So make sure that you listen. You want to make sure that you listen. While marriage is challenging, it's also deeply rewarding. By recognizing these common pitfalls and applying practical tips, you can build a stronger, healthier relationship that honors God and brings joy into your life. It brings joy into your marriage. Until next time, stay blessed and continue to nurture your marriage. Peace.